So there's a Polish proverb which has become popular today. You may have heard it. I first heard it a couple of years ago from a member up at the other New Chapel United Methodist Church. She said in a board meeting once, she said, "Not my circus, not my monkeys." It's a way of saying, don't drag me into your drama and your issues. I'm not getting involved. Early in my personal career, I sat in a training session. And you know, if you're in a line of work long enough, whether it's in a factory or in a office setting or educational setting, whatever, you're going to get a lot of training, and a lot of people are going to stand before you and do presentations and whatnot. And a lot of them you don't remember. They were important at the time, but they go over your head, and you're done with it because you got what you needed. But there are certain presentations, certain talks, even certain sermons over the years that will stand out to you, and they'll stick with you. And there was this one talk that a man named B.J. Hughes gave. He was from Florida, and it was a professional setting that I was working in, and he talked about this book, and I can't recall the name of the book, but the center point of the talk was, people will come to you, and when they do, if someone comes to you, he said, imagine that they have 10 monkeys on their back. And their job, or what they want to do, is give you all 10 of their monkeys. They want to leave that conversation without any monkeys on their back. Now he said, now maybe one or two of those monkeys belong to you, and they're your responsibility. And if they are your monkeys, you need to take them and take care of them and resolve the issue. But don't take any more monkeys than don't belong to you. Now, none of them may belong to you. But he said, if you take responsibilities and you take burdens that don't belong to you, drama that doesn't belong to you, it will suck the life out of you, it will take your energy, and you will have nothing left for the responsibilities and the burdens that you are supposed to take on in life. And that stuck with me. And now it's odd because sometimes, and if you see me when you're talking to me and I'm looking at your shoulder, how many monkeys are they bringing with them today? Because we all do that, don't we? And sometimes it is a monkey I should take. It's a responsibility I should take on, but sometimes somebody's trying to lay something on you and say, "Ooh, not my circus, not my monkeys." Now, Satan comes to us every day, and he does. He shows up to us every day, and he's got a back full of demons. And he's wanting to give those demons to you, and all the negativity and all the pain and all the suffering that those demons will bring with you. And he's wanting to unload those on you. He's already showed up this morning. You may have not have been aware of it, but he's showed up on your life. And he's tried to give you some demons. And he's tried to bring the hurt and the pain and the destruction that comes with those demons. And let me say this right off. None of the demons belong to you. Don't take any of them. If Satan wants to drop off hurt and pain and sin and all the things, the ugly things that Satan brings with him, and he wants to drop some demons off on you, do not take them. Because they will ruin your day and they will ruin your life. But that's what Satan does. He shows up and he wants to unload demons on you for the day. You ever had one of those days where things are going good and all of a sudden you give just a little bit of opening and you give in to a temptation or you give in to a negative thought or a defeatist thought or you say something you shouldn't have said, and all of a sudden that opens up a door and a demon comes in and gives you a bad day. Enough of those bad days and it builds up to become a bad life. Now, traditionally in the Christian faith, these demons, we're told, lead to one of what's traditionally called the seven deadly sins. And those are pride, those are greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. Now, we won't get into breaking those down this morning, but suffice it to say that with each of these sins, if you allow them into your lives and the demons that bring them, they will have a detrimental, destructive effect on your life. and of the lives of those with whom you're a relationship. Now, the man from Gerasene, he had some serious demons, serious monkeys that he had taken on. And Luke calls them demons. They were these spiritual influences that had ruined the poor man's life. And they weighed him down. They caused him so much mental stress that to a point that he was now running around naked in a graveyard. That's where he lived. They had tried to shackle him and keep him tied up. In other words, they had tried to imprison him, but he broke free. And so they just let him go. He was isolated, and he was lonely, and he was broken. I don't know what his issue was. We're not told. Could have been some mental issue from some traumatic experience that this demon had unleashed. Might have been an evil presence that had possessed this man so he could no longer function. Maybe he was acting out some great pain or hurt or fear that had overcome him, so he lost his mind. Maybe it was an addiction of some sort that had engulfed his life. But whatever the demons were that were possessing this man, one thing is sure, those demons didn't belong to him. The demons weren't his. Or let's say it this way, they belonged to him only as long as he allowed them to remain. Now, somewhere along the way in his life, he accepted those demons. He assented to their presence. He assented to their continued residency in his mind and in his heart and in his soul. And those demons that afflict us do not belong to us. If you have demons afflicting you right now, if you have pain, if you have a hurt, if you have a brokenness, a spiritual brokenness within you, and it's causing you to sin, it's causing you to hurt yourself and to hurt others, and you're wondering if there's any other way, is there any other path? Well, first of all, know that those demons don't belong to you. They belong in the abyss, is what Luke tells us. So the problem, though, is that these demons can take up residency within us for so long that we don't know how to get rid of them. They almost become a part of us. They become a part of our thinking and how we act and how we talk. They become a part of our character, as we talked about last week. And we can seem helpless to overcome the curse of these demons and their voices and their evil designs upon our lives. Addictions are like this. We don't know how to overcome them. Toxic relationships can be like this. We don't know how to break free. Self-loathing can be like this. Fear can be like this. But these demonic voices are ugly spiritual powers that can be so overwhelming and so overpowering that we don't know how to break free from them. And you know what? It's so easy for us to look upon somebody who's afflicted by some sort of demon, whether it be in the form of a mental illness or an addiction or some toxic relationship. And it's easy for us to judge that person. You've probably been there before in judging. Well, why don't they just stop that behavior? Why don't they just stop? Or why don't they just stop doing drugs? Why don't they just cut loose of that toxic relationship? And you can offer some of the most logical and sound and trusted advice, but they won't see it and they won't get it. Because they don't have ears to hear. Because the demons are so overpowering. Such demons can be so overpowering that the person is essentially incapable of breaking free from the demon. Unless there's an outpouring. Unless there's an intervention. Unless there's a divine intervention, unless there's an outpouring of the Spirit into their life, the arrival of Jesus into their life. And guess what? Luke tells us Jesus has arrived. Jesus has showed up. Jesus was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and earlier in Luke, he tells his disciples, he says, let's go to the other side. Because on the other side is where the demons are. Let's go to the other side and take care of business. Let's go to the other side and do some healing. Let's go to the other side and clean up some lives. Let's go to the other side and liberate. Let's go to the other side and make some people free today. And the disciples jump in and they cross over to the other side. And what's the first thing they find? They find a naked man running around screaming. It's like, Jesus, can we just head right back? But Jesus speaks to the demons and he says, you don't belong in this man. Get out. Jesus shows up and he takes names. Jesus is showing up and he's taking names. That's what what Jesus asked him. He says, what's your name? What's your name, boy? And the demon says, my name is Legion. For we are many, as if they could outnumber Jesus. You know, kind of get him shaken in his boots. And Jesus says, well, demons, why don't you just head right on into that abyss over there? And they plead. The demons plead not to be thrown into the abyss. But Jesus is in town, and he's taking names. And if you have a demon that is haunting you, if there is a sin that is eating at your life, if there's a behavior that you can't break free from, if there's a toxic relationship that you're involved in that you don't see any way out, Jesus has come from the other side. He showed up and he's taken names of the demons that he encounters. And if you will show up before Jesus, he will name your demon and he will order it into the abyss. That's what Jesus does. Because those demons don't belong to you. They may have been a part of your life for so long that it feels like they are, and you don't know if you can break free, and they've got so much control of your mind and your heart and your soul that you can't imagine yourself separate from that behavior or from that sin or from that evil that's lurking in you. But they do not belong, those demons. And you can be free from them. And it happens through Jesus Christ. Know this one thing, those demons are not yours. They don't belong to you. They are death. They come from the evil one. And the evil one, the scriptures tell us, comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he's in the business of. But Jesus has showed up and he's taken names. Who is this Jesus? He is the physical presence of God in the world. He is the incarnation. If you ever had chili con carne, the carne is chili with meat. He is the meat of God in the world. He is the physical presence, the incarnation of the living God. And he wants to live in you so that the power of God and the goodness and the beauty and the excellence and the love and the grace of God can free you of any sin, can free you of the demons that have control of your life. Jesus had his own temptations with the demons. And that's what's so beautiful and inspiring and empowering, is to know that Jesus dealt with the same things. Because here's the deal. It's great to be freed and liberated from a demon, and Christ can do that in your life. But it's even better not to have the demon come in, not to give the opening for the sin to come into your life in the first place. And so Jesus gives us, the scriptures give us some examples of how Jesus said, nope, not my circus, not my monkeys, not my demons. You should move on down the road. I don't want a part of it. Of course, the most obvious example is when he's in the wilderness, in the desert, and he's gone there to be with the Lord and spend time with the Lord and with his Father. And guess who shows up? Yep, Satan. And he's got his legion of demons with him, and he's wanting to unload some of his demons on Jesus. Now, he tries to get Jesus in arguments. He tries to engage Jesus in debate. And we talked about this in Silent Tuesdays a few weeks ago. But Jesus doesn't get in debate with Satan, because Jesus has already won the argument. He's the living Son of God. So he just, every time Satan speaks to him, Jesus just quotes Scripture. Satan says, well, what about this? Wouldn't you like to have this? And Jesus just quotes Scripture. And Satan says, well, how about this one? Won't you take this demon? Take this monkey and put it on your back. Jesus doesn't argue. He just quotes Scripture. And finally, Satan's like, walks on off. And it says the angels came and ministered to Jesus. So there's one example. So if you, that's why it's important to know the scriptures. And if you don't have a mind for memorization of scripture, which I just love people who have that. I have some people in my family who, man, they can quote scripture all day long. I got to have the cards, you know, in front of me. But if whether you can memorize the scripture or whether or not you keep the word handy, it's important to know what God's word says. Because when Satan comes and he wants to unload a demon on you, you can just say, whatever scripture. No, Proverbs says guard your heart. I'm guarding my heart today. I don't want that. So it's important that we know our scriptures. Jesus is also aware that Satan shows up as a detractor and wants to trick him into... They want to put him in a trap. Satan's always wanting to put you in traps as well. And at one point in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, the authorities are showing up and they're trying to find something to arrest Jesus for some crime, but they can't find one. So they're trying to get him to commit blasphemy. And so they ask him, and they say, well, are you the Son of God, Jesus? Do you remember what Jesus' brilliant reply is? I just love it. He says, well, you say that I am. So he doesn't fall into the trap. Otherwise, you know, the best way sometimes to avoid Satan and his demons is just to be careful with your words. Because sometimes ugliness will come at us, evil will come at us, people will say ugly things to us, and what do we want to do? Get the claws out, and we want to get into attack mode. But Jesus is like, okay, meh, you say it. And rest upon the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Another example of how Jesus avoided getting loaded down with monkeys, with demons, is Jesus says people will ask you to make commitments that you may or may not be able to keep. He says, don't let others force you into some untenable situation and set you up for failure. Instead, if you can say yes, he says, say yes. If you can't, say no. Anything beyond this, he says, comes from the evil one. Why? Because it's not my circus, not my monkeys. And then Jesus tells his disciples that he has to suffer and be crucified. This is in Matthew 16. And Peter, one of his most loyal and devoted disciples, is especially dismayed by this news that Jesus shares with his disciples that he's going to be crucified. And Peter rebukes him. He rebukes his master and he says, this will never happen to you, Jesus. I will not allow it. And Jesus replies, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. He says, you don't have concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Why does Jesus rebuke Peter? Because that was his monkey to own. Jesus knew that he had to own the cross. And he willingly took it on. In fact, Jesus demonstrates this advice, this advice that Jesus demonstrates about how to avoid taking on demons, is given to us by the writer of Proverbs. Proverbs 4 is a beautiful chapter in the scripture. If you haven't read it or you haven't read it recently, I encourage you to open up Proverbs 4 and read through it. Because here's how you avoid the infiltration of the demons and their ugliness and their destructiveness and their wickedness in your life. You don't allow the demons to get a foothold into your life so they can ruin you. And here's what the writer of Proverbs says. I'm going to begin with verse 20. In Proverbs 4. He says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. And then in verse 23, he says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. He says, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly, what's directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right, do not turn to the left, but keep your foot from evil. How do you keep Satan from putting those demons upon you? The writer of Proverbs says, keep your gaze on Christ. Keep your gaze on the Lord. Stay on the path. Do not be tempted to step off the path. There are all kinds of glamorous, glitzy, enticing things that Satan is wanting to load onto you and put in your heart so that you will go off the path. But the writer of Proverbs says, no, just stay focused. Be careful with your words. Don't speak freely until you've thought them through. And always guard your heart, because everything that you do flows through your heart. Your heart is the place that Jesus uses for your compass. Your heart is the place where you become holy and where you grow in sanctification. So always guard your heart. And maybe this morning you're dealing with some decisions or some demons. Maybe you've let your guard down already, and you failed to say no to the demons. Maybe Jesus showed up with a boatload of demons and you gave an opening and your life is in turmoil today. Maybe there are dark spiritual forces that have a hold on your life this morning. And what you need now is a power to redeem you. What you need is a Savior. Well, what you need is Jesus. And I know you've heard that before. Heard it from the television evangelist. You need Jesus. You've probably seen it on a bumper sticker. You've probably seen it on a billboard. You need Jesus. Yet you do need Jesus. Because He is the living physical presence of God in the world. He is the presence of God that will live in you. And when He lives in you, He will begin to save you. He will save you from the demons that attempt to ruin your life. But remember that Satan has one goal, the evil one. Evil in the world, the presence of evil in the world has one goal, and that is to steal, kill, and destroy you. But the power of God desires to enter into you and make you light and make you goodness and make you excellence and make you a person of love. And that only happens through the presence of Christ. You say, well, how does Jesus come into my life? Well, the scriptures put it very plainly. It says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He who says, Lord, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's the Jesus prayer. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Christ will begin His work in your life. And those demons that you're carrying around that don't belong to you in the first place, He'll start dealing with those demons. And one by one, He'll say, what's your name, boy? Nope, you don't belong here. What's your name, boy? No, you don't belong here either. And it's a burden that is lifted from your soul and from your heart. It's a breath of fresh air. It's the breath of the Holy Spirit that enters into you, and you become a new creation, Paul says. That's how new it is. That's how liberating it is to be filled with the power of Jesus Christ in your life. So if you don't know this Jesus, if you've never said, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, I invite you to pray that prayer this morning. I invite you to be touched by this Jesus. I invite you to be transformed by this Jesus today and be saved. Let's pray together. Father, how good it is to be in your presence. How good it is to know your power and your love. How good it is to feel the burden of sin be washed away because of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us on a cross, that we might know salvation this very day. Your servant Paul says, today is the day of salvation. Father, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he crossed over to the other side and saved us. I pray if there is one here today who does not know the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that they will pray to you, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner, that they might know freedom and be free indeed. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.